Well, good morning, church. Good to have you here as we share together today. No matter where you are, some of you actually might be on walks. It's an incredibly beautiful day. You might be out there in parks, wherever you are, sitting with your home, being with your family. It's good to have you here. You know, I get the privilege of worshiping with my wife, Marilyn, today. You know, this is the first time we've actually worshiped live together because I've been here and she's been at home. And to be in this room on the stage, being together with you is really awesome today.
What a treat.
It is a treat to worship. There's nothing like being in this place. That's why we can't wait till we can all be back together here. You know, but we've been talking in a series about finding strength. And the first step was, how do we find strength to persevere in difficult times? That was week one, and we're in the midst of them. Last week, Sarah shared a little bit about how to find strength in our circumstances. You know, circumstances can be long or they can be short. But if we're in a place that isn't what we thought life was going to be about, that's our circumstance. And God shows us in the Bible how we find peace and contentment there. Today, we want to dive in to part three. And that part three has to do with submission, finding strength to submit to another. Now, I know what you're thinking. Before you cut off the computer and before you stop and say, I don't want to submit, so I'm done with this message. In fact, we'll probably see the ratings go way down and everybody's signing off immediately. Don't do it. Don't do it. In fact, I want you to go on and text your friends and your neighbors right now and say, you got to hear this message. Because and the reason for this is nothing works well unless we learn submission. Literally, nothing in this world works well if we're all battling each other and we're on the front line and no one submits to each other. How much we need this, and the Bible talks about it all over the place. In fact, in our marriages, we've had to work really hard on this aspect of submission. Marilyn's smiling now. Because
been working for 35 years.
And we've almost got it right, would you say?
I think we got some work to do, but we're getting there.
But we're getting better at it.
We're getting better.
And that's the joy of submission. But we're not here just to talk about submission when it comes to marriages. We'll talk about that. But we want to talk about it in a much bigger way. Listen to what Paul says. This has been our theme passage in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through him, God, who gives me strength. Listen, we're all human beings. We are filled with pride. We're struggling. We want our way and no other way. You know, so I need the strength from God to be able to do this submission thing well and what that looks like and what that means. So, Marilyn, would you pray us in and let's dive in.
Glad to. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask today that you would give us your words, your wisdom, your message of encouragement. And Lord, most of all, help us all to learn submission as we learn it from you. And to be able to practice it and really grab on to how do we do it and only with your strength. Lord, guide us and bring your spirit here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So when we think about submission, what does that look like? What is the difference between a worldly submission and what we might think about as a biblical submission? When you think about worldly submission, it's really like a submission to an authority or a power. Okay, to an authority or power. We have authority figures in our lives. We have people that bring power and make laws in our lives. So we could think about a worldly submission is that which is deemed mandatory or obligatory. Okay, so I'm obligated to submit, or it's a mandate to submit. It's a law submit. It's kind of like paying the taxes, or in this time of COVID-19, we have governmental laws that are saying things we can do or not do. We're obligated or we're mandated to do it. Now, biblical submission is much different from that. And when we think about submission in the Bible, it looks different. If we say that worldly submission is about obligation or legalities, then biblical submission is about decision and choice. Okay, write that down. It's about decision and choice. It's not mandate. It's not legalistic. It's about a decision and a choice. In fact, in your outline, I've put several things for you that you can find online or in your CTK app. And I put a section there. It says worldly submission is about law, is about obligation, and it's about consequence. Law, obligation, and consequence. Biblical submission is about grace, It's about honor, it's about love, and it's about harmony. Okay, I want you to write those down. Worldly submission, law, obligation, consequence. Biblical submission, grace, honor, love, and harmony. So, how do we get into that? There's a passage that I love in the scriptures, and Paul writes it because he really began to understand, like kind of like we're beginning to understand submission in a marriage. Paul began to understand what that looked like in life, and he wrote this passage in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 21. It goes like this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You may be familiar with that text as it refers to marriages, because right under it, it goes into talking about how marriages submit to one another, how wives submit to your husbands, how husbands submit to your wives. But this passage actually isn't a part of the other. It's a part of a bigger theme that Paul talks about throughout the scriptures of what submission looks like. So today I want us to understand it from a perspective, a broad perspective of submission to one another and what that begins to mean in our lives in a wider context.
So we want to mention a few groups of people that we are asked to submit to. Remember, these are the part of the one another's that are mentioned in Ephesians 5:21. One is submission to leaders. In Hebrews 13:17, and these references are also on your outline on the CTK app, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So we're to submit to our leaders and allow them to be joyful in their leading and not be frustrated. They lead with devotion, so we are to submit to them and allow them to lead in that way. Submission to spouse. We've talked about that briefly, and we'll probably talk some more about it.
We're trying to get that one right.
But Ephesians 5:22-28 is what you're probably familiar with from marriage ceremonies. And Paul writes, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So it's a mutual submission. Both of us are to submit out of love, honor, and respect, not just because we have to. And wives are to submit as to the Lord. So it goes back to Jesus. And husbands are to submit as Christ loved his church. That's a pretty big order.
It's a very tall order, very tall order. And it goes on. Paul speaks about submission in other ways in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter speaks about it in submitting to older people. Okay, submitting to our elders. It goes like this. Likewise, you who are younger, listen up. You who are younger, be subject to your elders, okay? And Peter says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So there's an aspect by which God is saying there's something that works well when we learn to submit to those who are more mature than us, who are older than us. But he also speaks about submitting to our bosses or leaders, those who are running businesses or corporations that you work toward. In Colossians, he says it in that culture, slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, literally those who are over you, those who you're working for, not by eye service or to be people-pleasing, but literally as you're serving the Lord. So literally he's saying that in the world, people have an obligation. They have things they're working on, and you're working with them in order to accomplish. So be subject to what they're asking you to do.
The last group of people that we're asked to submit to in Scripture, submit to governmental authorities, Romans 13:1.
Boy, that's a tough one right now.
That is. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, mm-hmm. for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So we don't have to agree with the authorities. We're probably not going to all the time. But we're asked to submit to our governmental authorities, to pray for them, and to abide by the laws that they are governing us by and that we've probably helped to vote on. So it doesn't say agreement. It says submission.
Yeah, and no doubt all those are hard, and all those scripture texts are available for you online on your app and in the message notes for today. But what I want to dive in for a moment right now, I think in the core of this, is why. Why is all of this in the Bible? Why all these conversations about submission and what submission looks like to all these different people? Because I'm kind of one of those guys that likes to know why. Why is God asking me to do this? What benefit is it going to have for my life that God is saying that we're to submit to one another in these kinds of ways? And what I want to ask you to do, I want to connect with you today, and we do that every time that we're on. In the comment section, as you're watching this, if there's particular things that you get ahas, write that in your comment section, because we'd love to interact with you, kind of know what you're thinking, what is God saying to you, and just post it on there. Others will be blessed as we kind of dive through this section as well. So here's, I think, the number one why, and we're going to walk through five keys. One is to revere Christ, okay? To revere Christ. Paul writes, he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? When I revere Christ, it means I'm uplifting Him. I'm exalting Him. I am seeing that God, through Jesus Christ, is important. And when I submit to another, I'm saying, God, you are valuable to me. That's what that means. It's saying that Jesus Christ submitted to God to die for my sins and your sins, to go to the cross. Even when we were not perfect, clearly, even when we're rebellious, He did it. So literally, we're submitting, even if we don't agree in all situations, even if we're prideful, that we're submitting because of what Jesus did for me. That's a huge one. In fact, that's a reframe for me, because sometimes when I'm no, man, I need to submit to Marilyn on this one, and it's not because I want to necessarily, it's because, you know, if Jesus died for me, maybe I can die to myself for a moment. Maybe I can die to my own way and my own cause and actually support this person in what they're about and what they're doing.
And if you want to look at it a different way too, just a hands-on way, at the school that I teach at, I've been there about 13 years, and there have been many administrators that have come and gone in that time. So I've had a lot of bosses. Remember, we were to submit to bosses. They come in all different shapes and sizes and forms and opinions. But whatever the boss says you need to do, over the years I haven't done it perfectly, but I would say if we're to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, then if we revere Christ, we need to submit to our boss. And if they say to do something, you do it. If you have a disagreement, you go see them one-on-one. I don't have to agree.
That's good.
I need to follow through with what they've asked me to do. And not gossip and not complain. And that's the hard part. That's the submitting part.
That is the hard part, is to revere Christ in it. Is I'm not going to complain about this, that I'm going to die a little myself so that the team can move forward. And to miss that. You know, so it's not just to revere Christ. The second one, the second big why for me is to change us, to change me, to change me. So when I submit to someone, I'm the one that's going through a change. This week, it kind of hit home for me, is we had some newlyweds in our home all week. My nephew, Jordan, and his new wife, Catherine, was married just 2 weeks ago, yesterday. And they stayed with us on the second week of their honeymoon, and we enjoyed having them in. And we were talking to hear people that are married less than 2 weeks at that point. We're talking about submission and marriage and what the years for Marilyn and I have been like. And, you know, Catherine had a really great point. She said, you know, we're young in our marriage. We're young and learning to submit to one another. But what we have learned is how to submit to our friends and those who spoke into our lives. It says, you know, we had to open ourselves up and be people of integrity and allow ourselves to listen what they were saying to us, because it made us better people. And it made us be able to consider what we're doing that we shouldn't do. And we found their information, and we found that when we could open our hearts and die to ourselves and hear what our friends were telling us, we actually grew and we became better people. And I thought that was huge, and submission brought a good change. And it does for me. I've seen that in my life, throughout my life, and how I'm made better by other people.
And to do that, to either let your peers or your boss or your spouse speak into your life, it takes a lot of trust and a lot of transparency. You've got to be willing to get that positive criticism and to accept it, and then to make a change. But hopefully through the 35 years of our marriage, there have been a few ways that Craig's made me a better person and I've made him a better person as we
Absolutely.
Keep working on submitting. One is, I didn't used to be very good at accepting help or asking for help. And maybe a lot of you are like that. I didn't grow up in a family. We were independent. We gave people help, but accepting help was a different thing. So something Craig has taught me and that I've changed with, because we do change when we submit, is learning to ask for prayers, learning to ask for assistance, learning the value of a team going and doing something and not just me going and serving somebody, but taking five people with me. Then a lot of other people are blessed by serving. It's not just me that's blessed. I've learned a lot, and that's changed my life entirely. So thank you for that.
Well, and no doubt I've become a better person because of the person sitting on my left today, which is an incredible gift. And we want to be able to say that to our spouse. And we can only say that to our spouse that we become better together because we've actually submitted to one another and learned from one another. I think the third big why for me, not only to revere Christ and to be changed, is to value others. And I begin to think about it. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes this. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." You know, what does it mean to value another person, to treasure another person? When I'm submitting to Christ, I'm actually treasuring him. When I'm submitting to someone else, I'm actually saying that they're of value. They're, one, an intrinsic value, that they belong to God, that God created them. They have the earthly value, whether I agree or disagree with where that person is or those people are or whoever running whatever government. They were made by God, and they matter to God, and God died for them through Jesus Christ on the cross. That is huge. But when I submit to someone, I'm actually saying that you're valuable. You know, in this COVID-19 time, one thing I've seen is people are all over the place in how this is affecting them and what it means for them. And some are more fearful than others. Some, you know, want to be closer than others. Some are more distant. Some are more protective. And it's hard to sometimes know where someone is. And when we listen, it's not a matter of I'm going to force my pattern on you, but I want to hear from you. And I want to hear what your need is, and I want to value the place that you are. We saw that with our nephew and Catherine, who came into our home. They first asked, "What are your feelings toward us being in the home? What do you think? Are you guys okay with that? Is it okay if we come in?" And they valued our perspectives and our thoughts in that. That was valuing them because of submission.
You can also be valuing someone through family. We talked at the very beginning about biblical submission involved grace, honor, and love. You know, those are pieces of our identity in God, that he shows us grace, honor, and love, and we need to show it to other people. So when you're in a family, and we're in with our families a lot these last 6 weeks, we're kind of cooped up, we're isolated, and sometimes that can be challenging. But during that challenging time, if we could just stop and reflect, parents, if you can think about your kids and compliment them, not with an outward compliment, your hair looks great, but with an individual, eternal compliment, a value placed on them. Like, Olivia, thank you for your determination. Or Tucker, you have done so well helping the other people around you today. Or Vanessa, I just love your spirit and your spunk and your stubbornness. And Caleb, I'm just really proud of your quiet leadership. Teenagers, you might turn the table on this. I think it would shock your parents potentially, but wouldn't it be cool if you complimented and had value statements for your parents? Think about that. They've been valuable to you. Mother's Day's coming up next week, but you could honor your mom and your dad. Think of ways you can lift them up with words and with value statements that name their identity in Jesus.
And those happen in all kinds of small ways and huge ways in how we live it out in the world. You know, the fourth, I think, the key value, you know, not only are we valuing somebody else and we're understanding it, is to live in harmony, to live harmoniously. And we submit because it makes teams work together better. What team doesn't submit to one another and be good? It's the teams that don't submit, that are battling one another, that are all about themselves, that actually don't do very well. And it's marriages that act the same way. You know, as when Marilyn and I were married years ago, and we've learned this process of submission, and we go through the stages of it, it's actually made for us to be able to have more a harmonious life. life becomes good. We're not fighting one another. We're not battling to be prideful or battling to get our way. But we've learned a rhythm. Who's good at what? Who really has more knowledge than the other on this particular subject or matter? And to die to ourselves that we don't have to have all the stuff right. It allows you to live harmoniously because of the give and take. That's a submission. We're seeing it governmentally. The first thing we talked about when coronavirus came in is we've got to do all this together. So there's things we're going to have to submit to together harmoniously in order to rise above and to flatten the curve and to be able to open. That's what life is like. And the Bible speaks so much about submission so that we can be blessed in living together in harmony, literally, as that works.
And it really works better as a team. Think about the harmony of an orchestra or a band. If you're on three beats behind somebody else, or if you're playing the wrong song, it's awful. But to work as a team, you've got to be on the same page. You've got to be doing on the same beat. One example that I could come up with would be our 22-person hallway of eighth grade teachers and administrators at my school. It's a large school, so that's a lot of people to have to work together. And the week we were out for virtual school, we were told we had to contact every single one of our students every week. Our science and social studies teachers teach 150 kids. That's a lot of contacts every week. Instead of complaining at that point, we were a little bit overwhelmed, but instead of complaining, it was amazing to watch the group texts go through and teachers helping teachers contact their kids. One teacher said, "Have you heard from Joey?" "No, I haven't heard from Joey, but I told Jack to call Joey, and then Joey called me." So we were getting all kinds of different ways of contacting kids through email, text, any way we could reach them and their parents. And 2 weeks ago, out of the 450 kids in our hallway, there's only 17 we haven't been able to find, talk to, or contact. So that has taken an amazing teamwork with teachers that are very diverse from different religions, different backgrounds, all working together very harmoniously. Thank goodness we're on the same beat.
And all submitting together.
Absolutely.
Under the order that we need to keep up with these kids, because it was the right thing to do.
Well, it was all for their sake, and I guess that's the valuing part, too, to go back to that, because we value our kids, and we wanted to make sure they were fed, they had food, they had care, and that everyone's okay.
Yeah, I think the fifth big why for me that I put down in your outline is to protect us, to protect us. So think about submission gives the ability to be protected. Now, we know that in a big sense from a government side is, and we might submit to our government in order to be protected. We've seen that in coronavirus. We might see it in aspects of world peace and military and those kind of things. But let's break it down. There's an aspect for me that was with my own family growing up. And I think about my parents and how they protected me growing up. And I don't know all the ways they protected me. I know having raised kids, all the times I was nervous and trying to protect them from danger and to teach them and help them to have a good life. But I remember it was kind of like for me this daily protection. It's kind of like eating every day. I don't always remember what I ate a week ago, but I know that it went into my body and it created an energy and it results in who I am as a person. But my mom and dad would speak into my life all the time. And there was a couple things, I think, that protected me to make me the person that I am. One is we had to do chores, and we were expected to have a good work ethic. And there were no excuses. I mean, if they said these are things we needed to do, we needed to do them, we needed to get out of bed, we needed to get our clothes on, we needed to get our chores done. And they taught us how to live in a work ethic that has carried out and protected us through our lives and allow us to listen to people, to get things done that need to be done, and to be able to guide others in what needs to be done. But believe me, there were many times when I didn't want to do it, like any kid. But because we submitted, we learned. Another was finances. They protected us in finances. You say, how did they protect us in finances? Because they taught us something. They taught us how to live in it. You know, we'd get an allowance, and I remember Dad and Mom saying, you don't want to waste that on stuff and junk. You know, you need to give first to God, put that first part to God, save the other for bigger things that are going to be happening in your life. Believe me, they're coming. And then you can spend on the other things that you want. Did I want to do that? Did I want to submit to them in that? No, I wanted to go waste my money like every kid or everybody. But they taught us something. So as we've moved through life and we carried it into marriage, we've learned financial management. And because of that, that's protect us. When times were lean, we had resource available. Why? Because we learned these things. And we learned how to give. We learned how to be able to make a difference. Those were all aspects of protection in our lives going along because we submitted.
And you actually can see the reverse of it in some families today with COVID-19 going on. We stopped by one house, and we were just checking on this couple that sometimes has health challenges, make sure they were okay. They were hanging out in their garage area and driveway, so we stopped as we were walking and checked in, and also said, have you had opportunity to leave your house, or do you leave your house? And he said, no, we don't. And we were asking, well, do you need help with groceries? Can we help in any way? And behind the car that was parked there, we noticed there was a person in the back of the car working, and she stepped out and she says, no, I take care of that. And we met the grown daughter of this couple, and she was unloading groceries for them. But she wasn't just unloading it bag by bag. She had a Clorox wipe in one hand, and she was wiping every single surface of every item that came out of those bags before she would take it into her parents' house. So she's not just taking her time to go grocery shopping. She is making certain all the germs stay outside their house, and they're safe inside. She's submitting and protecting them. And then we said, well, that's pretty good. And the father said, yep, we're staying put just like we're being told to. So he's submitting to his grown daughter and saying, we're going to listen and we're going to stay healthy. And we thank her for doing that.
I just think it's just a beautiful image of protection in both ways. It was just
mutual submission.
Yes, mutual submission. You know, but there's a bigger context here. And let me throw that on the table. James writes this in chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. See, there's a greater submission. You see, the Bible speaks all about submission to another. But our chief submission goes to God. And that's what makes me level to understand any form of submission. If any aspect's going against God, then we're not to submit. Okay? Submission gives all these privileges in our lives. But if it goes against God, that keeps it from abuse. It keeps it from going opposed because our first submission is to God. So what does that mean? It means it's under protection because when we're following God's ways, there is a natural protection in our lives. For example, when I'm living in God's way in my marriage, there's a natural protection it gives to my marriage and helps us to do well. When I'm submitting to God, there's also a divine, there's a larger protection that I can't see, that God is ordering my days and my ways and giving a protection. And certainly, there's an eternal protection that I have life eternal with him. So I want to encourage you, first, submit to God. We do that by reading his word, by following in his way, by learning more about Christ. And that's what we do every day at CDK. We're trying to teach, we're trying to guide you to be a follower of Jesus as you're in community groups and you're with your kids and with your families and with your students. You're learning how to submit to God for a natural protection and for a divine protection over you. Now, those are all the whys. I think the thing we want to end with is how. Remember, Paul says, I can do all things through him, through God who gives me strength. Craig Bollinger is not going to submit well to my pride or to my way or to my thoughts or to my actions or to my attitude unless I have some help from God. And I'm thankful God speaks into my life every day. So how do we do that? How does God help us and give us the strength to submit well?
So the first thing he does is he gives us prayer. And I know a lot of messages keep saying, pray, you need to pray. But there's a reason for that. The reason prayer helps us is immediately when we're praying, we're saying, God, you're more strong than we are. You're more powerful than we are. We're at our wit's end. We know we can't do this by ourselves, so we need your help. So already we're submitting to God. The other thing prayer does is just ask for his help, and it gives us the strength that he can give us so that we can do all things. Whether you pray often, start. Increase your prayer time. Pray weekly, pray daily, pray hourly. Paul says pray continuously. I have a friend on a devotion we're doing online. She has two small little girls, And recently, she lifted up a prayer that I thought was powerful. She said, Lord, help me to look to you today when the girls drive me crazy. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. Help me not to look to social media as an escape and to sit there for 20 minutes escaping when I need to be just tapping into your strength. Help me to look to you, Lord, to get rejuvenated, to feel the joy of my girls, not the frustration. Also, prayer isn't just asking and saying, I need this, I need this, I need this. I need submission. It's also listening. So the other day, Craig and I were having a discussion. You might have heard it as an argument, but it was a discussion.
Oh, it was a discussion, clearly.
It was. And he said, Marilyn, I need to go get you a battery from your car, for your car, because it died the other day and we had to get jumped off. But it's only happened once, and I've started the car 4 times since then, and it's been fine. So my answer independently was, I don't need a battery yet. It's working just fine. We don't need to waste the time, waste the money. And he said, but I don't want you stranded on the side of the road. I want to get you a battery because it's got to be weak if this happened the first time, and I'm trying to protect you. And I started to open my mouth again to argue again, and the still, small voice tapped me on the shoulder, hit me in the head, and said, Marilyn, just a couple hours ago, you and Craig were working on a message on submission. What happened to that?
We're living by, we're preaching it.
I was like, whoops, I sort of got distracted and forgot it. So I guess my husband's just trying to care for me. He loves me. He's trying to get me a new battery. Why in the world am I arguing with him? I don't know. So yes, you may get me a new battery. Thank you so much for taking care of me and protecting me.
Those are kind words. I haven't gotten the battery yet.
But he will.
But I will. But it does remind me that sometimes, you know, sometimes those in authority over us see warning signs we don't see, and that's one of those things that protects us. Whether this is true or not, in this case, it's a matter of me loving and protecting you.
So to end, whatever you do with prayer, whether you forget to pray a lot of the time or you're real consistent with it, I'll tap on the kids' message from today with Miss Cheryl teaching, and her word was determination today. So it's your determination to keep trying to pray and tap into God more. It's God's strength and us being submissive to him that's going to accomplish that and to give us a whole lot more tools to be submissive.
I think the second thing that really will help you and me be strengthened to submit is to strive for biblical greatness. Strive for biblical greatness. Now, that may seem weird. It may sound like something you've got to do, and it is in a way. But listen to this. In Luke chapter 22, the disciples begin to argue, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest among us? And Jesus put that to rest. He said, you know, that's what the world does. The world strives after greatness, and they lord over everybody. No one submits to anybody, but that will not be the case among you, Jesus says. For the greatest among you will be a servant, because the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Now, why do I share that? The reason is this. When you and I submit, we are serving someone else. I'm serving my spouse, I'm serving my leader, I'm serving my government, whatever might be the case. When I'm submitting, I'm serving. And Jesus is all about serving. If you want to be on the front line with Jesus, if you want Jesus actively in your life right now, if you want to see miracles going on, then start serving. And it begins to see that submission that works its way in powerful ways, because that's where Jesus is, and that's where he will give you strength. I often share with our staff, you know, let's share the wins. What is God doing? And almost in every case, it is a place that someone has been serving. So if you want to see miracles, then start serving. If you want to see the power move in that, you will see the protection come, start serving, because Jesus is there on that front line for you and for me. So what does that look like at the end of the day? Worldly submission is about who do I have to serve? Okay? Who do I have to serve? That's worldly submission. Who do I have to serve? It's kind of said like that too. What is godly submission? Who do I get to serve? That's a much different ballgame. Imagine how our staff team would live and among that. Imagine how you'd be like that with your family. Imagine how you can be like that with your government or your bosses or other leaders. Who do I get to serve? Who do I get to love or honor? Who do I get to value? How harmoniously can I live? How do I get to revere Christ? How do I get to be changed by this environment?
So if we put the two hows together, I know this week I'll be praying, Lord, how can I serve this week? Lord, who can you put in my path that I can learn to be submissive with this week? God answers prayers, so he will answer those. And it'll take courage to pray that way, but I just challenge you. Pray, who can God help you serve this week? Who do you have the privilege of serving? Who do you have the privilege of being submissive to this week? Amen.
Why don't we share together in some prayer? And if you've never asked the Lord in your life, there's no better time than right now. Because submitting to God is the first step. When we submit to him, he changes us. And we see the deep value that he would go to a cross to die for you and me, says how much we are valuable to God and to him and to one another. So I just ask you to bow your heads and your hearts. If you're in with your family right now, just join hands with one another. If you're out on a walk with your spouse, just join hands and let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, here we are today, and the first step that we all need to take is submitting to you. For you have all authority on heaven and on earth. You're a part of our lives now, and you'll be a part of our lives for eternity. We want to be with you through eternity, and we submit our lives to you. Father, we simply say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I confess that I'm rebellious to you, and I want to change. I want you to move into my heart and soften my heart, that I may follow in your way, that you would protect me and guide me in the midst of life, and you would soften my prideful self and allow me to listen and be changed by the goodwill of others, that I may live harmoniously in my marriage and among my family and in my community, in my team at work, and in my workplace and in this nation. God, only you can do that work in me, so I ask you to come into my life. And I ask you to forgive my sins. And I ask you to give me a place in heaven with you forever. Jesus, thank you. Father, we pray for our nation as we begin to reopen and all the complications and leadership decisions that are part of that. Father, help us to open our hearts to one another, to listen and to value one another. We pray for those who are really deeply struggling in these times where there is death and people are losing their businesses, and people are struggling economically, even when we might be in places by which we are not affected. Touch our hearts to care as a whole to the needs of one another, and help us serve one another in these days and in these times. God, we thank you for the privilege of worship, and may your word penetrate our heart and lead us to be servants this week, right on the front line with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.